Well, Phil, it's very explanatory in the title. I don't perceive to know that much about Sanskrit scriptures. It became a very pointed situation, which said that there are four basic atonements and scriptures that everything can be related to. Everything you can consider to be the fundamental developments of life, or in the four basic scriptures, it is said that the Bibles were written from Sanskrit, and that Sanskrit is so mathematically perfect. The people at that time had an incredible insight to the basis of life and development and so on. So in each title there is, you can explain everything. The first is the revealing, which is the explanatory situation of what is going on, the kind of diversities that are going on. Consequently, the actual first piece never sits down. It moves from one section to the next section, to another, to another, to another, to quiet, to large, fast, blah, 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 blah. And it moves around in between two chants. And the first chant explains the four movements as light, revealing is light, thought, remembering, to remember, think, power, the ancient, incredible power that they developed, and love, which is the ritual. Out of the ritual, there's got to be an end product. The ritual is a kind of exorcism, if you like, a kind of self-analysis of life. We're all aware that life is a fight at times between the evil and love and war and peace and so on. Consequently, when we got down to finish the actual song, I brought in the final song, which is Nous Sommes de Soleil, which was a kind of admission of a possible train of thought that the sun isn't just a scientific explanation, that the sun is from which our old concept we are from the development of the sun, which is each day scientists and archaeologists and all these people are changing their minds each day about things because new things keep cropping up. Consequently, it seems very solely based on a materialism situation of scientific knowledge and things like that, that we can turn around and look at the sun and say, well, it's a ball of fire, it's cool, you know, it's all right, it's nothing to do with us, it just keeps us alive, it is everything that we are. It gives us life. Why should we look further than that? I mean, we haven't even looked at that yet properly. So, in the development of the four pieces, the ritual became the exorcism kind of situation where we did a drum thing together. We were all playing drums and physically moving together in a similar situation. When Alan is doing his solo, three of us are playing a set piece of drum music underneath. And Rick comes in with the chord sequences to build up the distortion, diversion of the possibility of evil and fear and unbalanced situations, out of which comes the guitar at the end. Then he comes in and we sing a very simple love song, which is based on in accordance with the fact that when we play music, we enjoy it to the point of pure being, if you like. Not all the time. I mean, we're not crazy lunatics going around kind of weird, we're so high, you know, we're on such a plane. It's not, nothing like that. It's just at certain times you realize that there's something other than what we're doing happening within us. It might be just me when I'm playing on my own, me with Steve, the group playing at a gig somewhere in the midst of Sydney, Australia, when we just catch a light and really capture something that takes over, and we just play the part. And on tour, there's a general feeling of enjoyment and love and respect for the audience, and this is something that is in me, and I'm sure it's in the whole band.
You still amaze me with these explanations of the way you just said, and then we do the do 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 do. And get these. How many? I mean, do you?
I know it backwards way. You know,
I know you do. Did you know it when you finished it, or did you have to really go over it again afterward and get into it to get it to the stage where you could play it on stage?
We rehearsed for 2 months, and then I went away to Morocco, stayed in Marrakesh, went into the hills and things, and came down from the hills. I've been up with Alan and Edward. Nothing heavily spiritual, but very close to another century, because people up there don't live via electronic devices, they live via natural devices. Consequently, it's something that feeds inner thoughts, and when you walk up into the mountains in Marrakesh, and it's an interesting experience. After which I came back to the Holiday in Marrakesh, which I was staying at, sat by the swimming pool, and wrote all the lyrics for the whole. In 3 days, I wrote the whole lyrics for the album.
How about the melodies?
Melodies we'd written long before. I had a basic knowledge of the words. It was just a question of writing them down and starting.
But the melodies really say as much about what you want to say as the lyrics, it seems, don't they?
Yeah, the melodies are.
And the way that the dynamics.
The
dynamics of what happens in the music.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know. I enjoy that balance where, if it's pointed out, as you say, that the actual tune releases the feeling, which is a good thing, and the words just add a little touch of development. When we utter words, we make sounds, and sounds are so much involved in our lives that they become important. So anything I write, I really feel very close to, and I feel it's important that I just don't write words down for the sake of. So when possibly people just don't understand what I'm putting down, they might not just understand within the context of the situation why I did put down them words, rather than listen to the sound of the word and gain possibly as much as they would from a word, you know. Development of working hard on a piece of music, the next piece of music should come easier. I mean, before we could do four long pieces of music, we had to do one long piece of music. Right. Before we did one long piece of music, we had to do one 10-minute one, and it started from 4 minutes or 5 minutes pieces of music. And when we did our first 10-minute piece of music, which I think was like on Perpetual Change or Heart of the Sunrise or something, which was pretty long, and it didn't have seemed long. And then after a while, it seemed nice and okay. And then we did longer pieces of music, and when we did Close to the Edge, that was really a long piece of music, and now Close to the Edge is just one of four pieces of music, so it's not as long as one would.
It's the same from my point of view listening to the thing.
Well, I think that when we finished it, we had got to a very high stage of feeling in terms of feeling for the music, and possibly we did get a bit lost in it, and it's in the pub, we, on review of the situation, there are a few mistakes, and it could have been, you know, obviously, it could have been treated a lot better in certain parts. I think by the time we were finishing recording it, we realised that we had to finish it as it was, and we couldn't start changing, or else we'd start recording it all again. We even talked about re-recording it.
Refresh our memory and go back to the origins of Yes. We find John Anderson and Chris Squire and some other guys, Bill and Tony and Peter, right, actually formed the band, or you were the... Are you the originator?
I was possibly the instigator of the crime. First of all, I was working in a bar, having worked for 5 years with groups, with a particular group, and I found myself in London, and I was working in a bar which was frequented by musicians that were very popular at that time, and they're still popular, like the Nice and Terry Reid of this world. This kind of, it was next to the Marquee Club. Marquee Club is in London. It's a very, very famous club, and I used to sweep up and collect glasses and things like that. It was like right down to the roofs, because I just wanted to look around the groups in London, and in the hope of joining one of them. As it happened, I couldn't really find... I was a bit dissatisfied with what was happening on the musical scene for groups that really hadn't got going, and that's the only kind of group you can join when you're an unknown singer. Just an ordinary pro group that just keeps together, if you like. And the only group that really turned me on was the Nice, with Keith Emerson and Lee Jackson and Blinky Davison, and they didn't need a singer. I was too frightened to ask, because to me they were very, very, very well known, and very in London at any rate. They were pretty well known all over England. And so I was searching for a band to join. I joined the Gun for a period of about a month, which was 3 weeks rehearsals and two gigs. They were a little more interested in money than just playing gigs, and that was our difference of opinion. That's why I left. And as I said before, they kicked me out, one of the two, or one of the three. And then, possibly about a month later, I met Chris in the bar that I was working, and we had a quick chat and realised we were interested in each other's ideas. The day after we got together and we wrote Sweetness, and started thinking about other things we could get into, we started doing a lot of arrangements, and one of the main points that we decided to get a band together on was to make a kind of harmony group, but with a very, very strong and organized backing, arranged backing. Consequently, we did a lot of Beatles songs, which were very well-known songs anyway, and they appealed pretty well to the public that were playing at the time. Bill joined through an advert in the Melody Maker, and Peter and Tony joined through friends, and as I said, I borrowed about $700 to get the band on the road, which meant a month's rehearsal, $5-$10 each a week, and then a few dollars on equipment and things. I'm only talking in dollars because it's American, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It helps. And so we got on the road and did a lot of gigs, and then recorded our first album, which didn't do too well because of bad production, which we weren't aware of. We just had the energy to go in and make this music, and I think the energy kind of climbs through the bad production on the first album. It's not a great album, but there's a lot of enthusiasm there anyway. We got into the second album. I felt that Peter wasn't pushing as hard as possibly could have done at that time, so we introduced strings to like make it a little bit better album than it would have been without strings. It wouldn't have been a good album without the strings. And as it happened, it didn't turn out to be a good album, a great album anyway, because the string arrangements were very good in some parts and pretty bad in others. But it was an idea that I had at that time, that the band wasn't functioning so well, so we'd use strings to try and make it better. Album and did a few more tours of England. We decided that we needed more of a stronger individual in the band to kind of help push the band along. Consequently, we got Steve in, and Peter left to do his own things. And Steve, over the last 2.5 years, has really blossomed out into one of the strongest. We're all strong parts of the band now. I think we're all individually appreciated, if you like. There's nobody stands out. Everybody enjoys the band as a whole. But, you know, it was one of the lucky breaks that we had to find Steve. The time we met him, he was with a band called Bodas, who were a very good band. I saw Steve play down in the Speakeasy once, and I always remembered him. And when we were thinking about getting a guitarist, Tony Colton, who produced our second album, mentioned Steve Howe was, like, really hot. So we got hold of him, and we had a rehearsal, which we played for 5 minutes and talked for about 5 hours, you know. It was one of them instant things that you really get high on, you know. And so we carried on and got in. We went through a lot of management hassles. Every band has terrible management hassles, and Your first managers are always terrible because they're very inexperienced and they're not capable of accepting what you're trying to do. They just think it's a bit of a laugh, you know. Whereas a business part of a group is the management. It's got to be run business-like, or else promoters are going to lose out, people are going to lose out, the group's going to lose out. It's got to be very well organized to make sure that there is a good. Not so much a product to sell, but there's a good show coming to America or playing in England. We've always tried to maintain a very good high standard of sound and so on, you know, and good equipment. And you need money to get this, so you need management to get the money from the record companies and so on. Then we recorded the Yes album. That was our first breakthrough for us, because we produced it ourselves, and we were very, very relieved that we could produce something like the Yes album. It was a little feather in our cap. We felt really proud of it. I started thinking more and more about our music and getting more and more involved, so that by the time it came to do Fragile, we felt that we should be expanding a little more sound-wise. Consequently, Tony wasn't really into playing mellotron moves or anything like that, because he wasn't sure of the capabilities, I think. And we'd heard about Rick Wakeman, who was pretty unhappy with the Strobes, and he would really love to join the band. So I think it was the first tour we did of America. On the way back, we decided to get hold of Rick and see if he was willing to join the band, only on the presumption that he was going to play mellotrons and moogs and a lot more keyboard sounds to like develop the scope of the band. So we got Rick in and recorded Fragile. That brings us up to the last couple of tours we've done of America. I think the time we played in Philadelphia, we were possibly very unlucky that it was one of the first gigs we played when we got in America. Most of the equipment was broke, but the audience in Philadelphia was so good to us, you know. We felt so kind of sad that we hadn't put on the show we felt we could put on, and we were so kind of exasperated, or whatever the word might be, to feel that so many people would enjoy our music when it wasn't as hot as we can do it, you know. And so we just looked forward to playing back in Philadelphia, and like the other night, we really enjoyed ourselves, you know. It still wasn't tops for us, but we still enjoyed it, and the audience seemed to enjoy it very much, and we were very proud to be able to play there, really. With the help of you getting the records together, it gives us a sense of belonging, that somebody does want to see us. You know, a lot of people come to the gigs, but when you're treated possibly with a little more respect, and a lot of people do turn out to see you, you want to put on the best show you've ever put on in your life, and that's what we always strive for. And before we came on the tour that we're on now, we just got to the final stages of our fifth album, which is called Close to the Edge. And Bill, who'd been discussing with me over the last 6 months that he wanted to spread out and play with other people, and I'd said to him, if you can wait maybe till the end of the year, I'm sure yes, as an idea, we'll be able to relax and develop on easier lines, rather than like we spend 24 hours a day thinking about Yes, and every day of the year. We've had 2 weeks off in the last 4 years as a holiday. We had 2 weeks off about just before we started the new album. And Bill had spent a lot of time with Bob. Bob had lived with Bill for a while, so Bob Fripp seemed to be his next step on his musical journey. And I said to him, I said, I can dig the idea very much you joining, but I just ease off for the moment, see what we're trying to do musically, and get involved in it. I'm sure you'll get everything out that you're trying to, what you think you can get out with Bob. He said he still wanted to join with Bob, but later on this year. So I said, well, Alan White's been very close to us for maybe 6 months now. He'd done a couple of sessions with him, with me and Steve, and we got to know him very well, got to like him very well. And consequently, when Bill said he wanted to leave, I said, well, that's cool, because I know Alan can do everything that we'd ever want. So Alan was so excited to join, he wanted to start right away, you see. So we had to say to Bill, well, listen, Bill, Alan's coming in now, you know, and we're going to get on with it, because it means more to us to keep the band, to go over knowing that the band is a unit, to go and play in America, like this tour we're doing now. And after the first four gigs, we were really having a good time with Alan, you know, and we're very, very happy with him. He's excellent. You probably realised we were really vibing off him the other night. You know, it's something he's excellent. And we're happy. Bill's, I rang Bill a couple of days ago, asked him how he was, and he's very happy now. And he seems to be settling into starting again, because that's what he asked to do. You know, he's getting together with five musicians that he doesn't know, he's never worked with before, and he's got to sit down and start a group again. And this is what he wants to do. He's a little bit of a masochist, I think. But I think he'll learn a lot by doing it. He'll learn all the little things that were bugging him at the back of his mind. He felt that we were getting too successful for what he was putting into it. He probably thought he shouldn't be so successful so soon, so he wants to start again. So that,
wait a minute, soon? How many years?
Is
it 4 years?
Yeah, Bill's only 22, and hasn't been playing so long, really, relative to me and Steve. I've been at it since, 10 years nearly, and Steve's the same, you know. And but we don't really consider we're successful yet because of our music. Our music is the success. If when we start making something that we feel is successful, it's a very personal thing, is music. And people can go out and buy records, but there's no point in saying, "Oh, we're hits. We're there. We're successful." Until you know deep inside that you've made something really heavy. The nearest we've got to it now is Close to the Edge, which you heard the other night, and it's developing. We're quite away from it. Yeah, maybe next year, end of next year. I don't know. It's very difficult to say.